Hi, and welcome to Guideposts. I'm your volunteer reader, Sandy Summers. Today, we will complete our reading of the August-September 2024 issue of Guideposts with Family Room and start reading the October-November 2024 issue of Guideposts. Family Room, Julie Lavender, The Marble Track, page 28, is happy to report that, bulky refrigerators notwithstanding, she has embraced the upside of life after active parenting. "I finally have enough time to pursue my lifelong dream of writing books for children," she says. 40 years ago, when I was starting as an elementary school teacher, I thought how cool it would be to write the kind of book I read to my students in class. She never had time, especially after becoming a mom to 4 kids and deciding to put her teaching skills to use through homeschooling. When she did get a chance to write, it was mostly devotional articles for adults, including in Guideposts. "God led me down a different path," she says. As the kids grew up and moved out, Julie found herself reminiscing about all those years with a house full of children. One memory stood out: making gingerbread houses with them at Christmas. Restarting the tradition with her first grandchild gave Julie an idea for a children's book. In October, a gingerbread house, a rhyming story about a grandparent and grandchild making a gingerbread house together, will be published by Endgame Press. "God gave me the dream of my heart," Julie says. "I'm so grateful, and I can't wait to read it to my own grandchildren. I have 2 more arriving this year." Lisa Bogart, A Soul of His Own, page 46, loves to spread joy through her daily knitting and writing. In addition to the 30 sweaters in her personal collection, she also knits for charity, making a blanket every Lent for the local hospital's oncology department. She's written about her knitting adventures in her devotional book, Knit, Purl, Pray, as well as authored and illustrated 3 devotional coloring books. Her new book, Quest, showcases a collection of Celtic knots, along with verses and quotes that are illuminated or decorated with borders, miniature illustrations, and other flourishes, in the style of Ireland's Book of Kells. She also finds time to hand letter greeting cards. Lisa delights in sharing her newsletter, Joy Comes in the Mailbox, which goes out by email every other Saturday and covers topics from recipes to book recommendations, mailing ideas, and everyday surprises. You can find out more about Lisa and subscribe to her newsletter at lisabogart.com. For Rick Warren, Created to Dream, page 12, retirement has been anything but retiring. Not long after stepping down from more than 40 years of leading Saddleback Church, he took on a new and even more daunting job. He is now executive director of Finishing the Task, a global coalition of Christians seeking to fulfill Jesus' great commission to share the gospel around the world by 2033. That date will mark 2,000 years since Jesus' death and resurrection. "God is not done with me," Rick says. Among Finishing the Task goals, ensuring that every person on earth has access to the gospel in their native language, equipping everyday Christians to share their faith with others, and inspiring every church to plant a new church where one is needed. "If 1,000 times more complicated than leading a church," Rick says, yet he is certain it can be done. The fastest period of growth in Christian history was during the first few centuries after Jesus, when Christians were a persecuted minority, he says. "We have so many more resources, and even though churches are shrinking in America and Europe, they are booming in other parts of the world. God is only getting started." Rick's latest book, Created to Dream, The 6 Phases God Uses to Grow Your Faith, helps readers find and finish their own next big task. "God is always more interested in who you're becoming than in what you're doing," Rick says. "With God, there is always something new." Emily E. Ryan, A Teacher's Heart, page 52, and her husband Jason were engaged a mere 40 days after they met on a blind date. 20 years later, their lives are full of teenagers and the beautiful noise and chaos that comes from having 4 kids between 12 and 18 years old. These are days when managing their schedules feels like navigating Houston traffic at rush hour, but it's in the struggle to juggle that I get to know the Lord more intimately, Emily says. She shares her wins and losses and Guideposts mornings with Jesus, and she encourages women to ditch guilt and embrace grace in her new book, Guilt-Free Quiet Times, 7 Myths About Your Devotional Time with God. She also speaks at conferences, retreats, and women's events. Emily and her family live in the great state of Texas, but you can avoid the heat and humidity by visiting her online at emilyeryan.com. Subscribers, if the post office alerts us that your magazine is undeliverable, we have no further obligation unless we receive a corrected address within 1 year of postal notification. Continued, how a story made a difference. Light in the darkness. The May-June 2022 issue of Guidepost arrived not long after I received an upsetting health report. I'd gained weight since my husband's passing, and the report was a wake-up call that I needed to take better care of myself. I asked God for guidance on cutting down on sweets. I flipped through the issue and found Jeanette Lavelli's story, Sugar Free, about how she curbed her sugar addiction and developed healthier habits. Her story inspired me to place my own sugar addiction in God's hands. I take my weight loss and health journey one day at a time, the same way I've found peace in my grief. Patience is not something that comes naturally, but I know I can do all things when I let God lead. Thank you, Jeanette. Your story brought me light in the darkness, exactly what I needed it, when I needed it. Barb Enos, Washington, Pennsylvania. Finding her voice. I've been a Guidepost reader for more than 30 years. I clip and save stories that encourage me, keeping them in a pick-me-ups file. Of those, Tanya Mae Abbott's A Child of God, February-March 2020, falls in a special category. Like her, I was one of a few African-American students at my elementary school. Tanya wrote about a fifth-grade assignment to draw a flag of her family origins that led to a search of her roots. It echoed my spiritual journey as a person of color and a Christian. I felt affirmation, not only by guideposts, but by God himself. Tanya's experience of finding her voice inspires me as I pursue a master's degree in Christian history and religion. In my program, I'm not only a minority as a woman of color, but as someone closer in age to my professors than my classmates. Still, this wallflower is learning to be more comfortable expressing herself. I bring a unique perspective because of my life experiences. I'm grateful to Tanya for her openness and to your staff for sharing her story with the Guidepost family. Vivian Hayes, Portsmouth, Virginia. Has a Guidepost story inspired you? Tell us about it at continued@guideposts.org. We will now begin Guideposts' October-November 2024 issue with the Editor's Note by Edward Grinnan, Editor-in-Chief, Hope in Action. Looking over my notes for this editor's page, I hear scratching. Gracie, my golden retriever, is trying to reclaim a ball that has disappeared under the couch, just beyond the reach of her outstretched paw. Normally, I would intervene, getting on my hands and knees and wielding a Swiffer. I would be her hero, but I find myself engrossed in watching her exertions. As my vet once said, Gracie is a resilient dog. Resilience, a word you hear a lot these days. What is resilience? The capacity to bounce back? Simple stick-to-itiveness? I think of resilience as hope in action. Our hope is the superpower that fosters resilience and leads us toward positive outcomes in life. Several of my favorite pieces in this issue exemplify resilience. In our cover story, Kelly and Jeff Harrell fight to save their marriage, battered by the pandemic, job loss, grief, and faltering faith. Brian, Surgeon Lee Warren, struggling with his own personal tragedy, finds hope in a patient to whom he has given a terminal diagnosis. Can Lucky Chuck's unwavering faith revive Dr. Warren's? The great storyteller and my friend Roberta Messner shares how she was ready to give up living an active life after a bad accident. But a young woman, decades her junior and sporting a nose ring, serves as Roberta's unexpected inspiration to get well. In my conversation with Professor Harold Koenig, a leading researcher on spirituality and health, he explains how resilience is key to having a happy, hope-filled life. I've begged God for resilience many times in my life. When I was trying to break the death grip of addiction 28 years ago, I heard in my first 12-step group, "Don't give up before the miracle." What I've learned is not giving up is a miracle. Speaking of not giving up, Gracie emits a sharp bark at the fugitive ball under the couch and shoots me a pleading look. Is there anything more hopeful than a dog? I fetch the Swiffer and retrieve her ball, and for a moment, I am her hero. The upside. Quotes from today's positive thinkers. I don't just thank God for the victories. I thank him for the defeat. Dawn Staley, University of South Carolina women's basketball coach, on how her faith and her team's 2023 NCAA championship loss led to a 2024 championship win and undefeated season. Humans can learn something from these animals. If all these different species can get along, so can we. Lori Zielinski, founder of Funny Farm Rescue and Sanctuary in New Jersey, home to more than 600 rescued animals. Trusting God is a series of choices, not a one-time event. From Permission to Dream by Christine Kane. There are some storms and troubles that are leading to where the Almighty wants you to go. Consider it a divine detour. Robin Roberts, journalist. Resilience equals grit plus forgiveness. Susie Welsh, writer, professor, and speaker. When we care for ourselves, we strengthen ourselves to care for others. Gretchen Rubin, author. God, help me notice all the ways in which we've forgotten how to be human since these screens have become attached to our palms. Prayer by Carlos Whitaker, podcaster and author, during the 7 screen-free weeks he spent at a monastery and an Amish farm to explore his faith and reliance on technology. I love that Thanksgiving isn't about going out and buying gifts. No, Thanksgiving is about celebrating the gifts that are within us. Maria Shriver, journalist. God's love is ineffable. We recognize it without truly understanding it. We are not meant to understand it. From A Journey of Faith by Edward Grinnan, Guideposts Editor-in-Chief. Legacy is always an active thought to do the best that I can, to leave the best of myself when I'm gone. Sherry Lee Ralph, Emmy-winning actor from the TV show Abbott Elementary on What We Leave Behind. You pray for the hungry, then you feed them. That's how prayer works. Pope Francis. One of the things I've learned on this journey is that gratitude and sadness are not mutually exclusive. They're always working at the same time. Regina King, Oscar-winning actor, on life after her son died by suicide in 2022. We may sometimes wonder, if Jesus offers me his peace, why don't I have more of it? If someone gives us a gift, we have to put out our hands to receive it. If our hands are busy and filled with other things, we won't be able to hold what we're offered. James Banks, pastor and author of Peace Through Prayer, Rest and Restoration for Your Soul. What God has for you is going to be for you. Perfect it. Hone it. Be a master of it. Love it. Do it well. Impact people when you do it. And help bring somebody up with you. Myron Roll, who after getting cut from the NFL, achieved his other childhood dream of becoming a neurosurgeon. Send an uplifting quote from a newsmaker or yourself to upside@guidepost.org. I'm Sandy Summers, and you're listening to Guideposts on Sun Sounds of Arizona, a 24-hour reading and information service for people who can't read print due to a disability. If you missed any part of this program, you may access it anytime on demand at www.sunsounds.org. In addition to the bi-monthly Guidepost magazine, each week we may be reading some of Guidepost's other daily devotions or inspiring stories from Guideposts online. Spirit lifting. I will meditate on all thy works and muse on thy mighty deeds. Psalm 77, verse 12, RSV. My sister Karen greeted my husband John and me in front of her farmhouse. We'd come to see her newly hatched chicks. I struck off down the path to the chicken coop. John followed and Karen came behind. Shortly, I heard my sister call, "Slow down. We don't want to scare the chicks." I glanced back and knew instantly that Karen was more concerned about John than the chicks. Weakened by his illness, he edged his way down the path. I could see that my quick stride accentuated his loss of strength and might have made him self-conscious. I slowed my pace. Kieran and I stepped up into the coop while John leaned in the doorway. The tiny yellow and black fluff balls scooted about their pen, peeping softly. John smiled at their antics. My husband's rapt look showed me that we had walked into a new season of life, one where hurry had little place. It was time to see all the wonderful kinds of new life God had placed around us and within us. Father, help me slow down and see how your gift of life flows continuously through your creation. Raylene Nickel. To enjoy more devotions from Strength and Grace, a daily devotional magazine for caregivers, go online and order at chopguideposts.org/DEVO. Someone Cares, Pass It On, A Pastor's Gift. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. A couple of years ago, our congregation decided to honor our pastor in a unique way. Someone bought a Bible with extra wide margins, then asked each church member to write a message to our pastor next to a verse that was especially meaningful for them. We had to be stealthy, passing around the Bible and signing it at church classes and events without the pastor finding out. Adults and kids alike wrote in it, and many shared a story about how scripture they'd chosen reminded them of our pastor, or a special memory they'd made together. One Sunday in October, we presented the Bible to our pastor. When he opened it and looked through the pages, he became overwhelmed with emotion. From then on, our pastor used that Bible to prepare his sermons. He often shared the stories we'd written when he referenced certain scriptures, adding depth and a personal touch to his messages. That Bible has turned out to be much more than a gift of appreciation. It represents the strong relationships our pastor has built with church members and how all of us are connected through God's Word. Wendy Owens, Fort Worth, Texas. Sweet salute. I was having lunch with my 15-year-old brother Nathan at a diner. Although 10 years apart in age, we were close and liked to hang out. The waitress brought our food and Nathan prayed over it. I'd just taken a bite when an elderly gentleman got up from an adjacent table and approached us. I noticed that the two of you prayed before eating and that encouraged me, he said. I love to see young people prioritizing faith. We told him how grateful we were for his kind words. Then I noticed his hat. He was a World War II veteran. Thank you for your service, sir, I said. Our dad is a veteran, too. We talked for a few minutes about his service and our dad before the man sat back down. Quietly, I asked our waitress to bring a dessert to the man's table and put it on our bill. When the huge slice of apple pie arrived, he gave Nathan and me a little salute with his fork and said, thank you, and tell your dad I said he did a great job with you, too. It made our day, and when we told our dad, it made his day too, making two veterans smile. Sweet. Jordan Sontag, Terre Haute, Indiana. Respite care. My mother had dementia and was in assisted living. 15 years of managing her care while working and raising my children had left me exhausted. Then the week before Thanksgiving, Mom had a stroke and entered hospice. She was slipping away. My one consolation was that she would soon be walking with Jesus, freed at last from the prison of dementia. My husband and I usually hosted Thanksgiving, but this year my brother offered to cook. Our whole family gathered at his house while I stayed with Mom. I didn't want her to be alone, yet sitting by her bedside, I couldn't help but feel lonely myself. The next thing I knew, a hospice volunteer walked into Mom's room. Go enjoy dinner with your family, he said. I'll sit with her until you get back. I couldn't thank him enough. I was gone only a short time, but that brief respite felt like a lifeline. Mom died 3 days later. I'll never forget that Thanksgiving Day kindness, and I hope one day I'll be able to pass it on and give a family caregiver a much-needed break. Rhonda Wells, Mooresville, Indiana. Have your own story of kindness and caring to tell? Email us at sc@guideposts.org. Making Marriage Work, Stronger Than Ever. The pandemic, job loss, grief, that would test any marriage. How this couple found their way back to each other, by Kelly Harrell, Winchester, California. You said you would take me to the airport. I narrowed my eyes at my husband. Jeff frantically scrolled the calendar on his phone. I must have forgotten to enter the flight, he said. I can't take you now. I have an appointment. But you offered just yesterday, I said. How could you forget? I turned away, muttering. I should have known. That you don't care enough to remember, I said. That's not fair, Jeff said. You know, my heart medication makes me forgetful. This isn't my fault. You've been mad at me since the minute you walked in the door. There you go again, telling me how I feel. Another day, another argument. For 2 decades, Jeff and I had been happily married. Now every conversation turned into a battle. Our stress was through the roof. Ever since Jeff lost his job a few years earlier, he'd been depressed and listless. I was sick of trying to pull him back. I couldn't remember the last time we had fun. It was as if someone had swapped out the man I'd fallen in love with for the shell of a person. I didn't know what to do. Jeff is the nicest guy you will ever meet, a friend had said when she set us up on a blind date. That's the man you'll marry, a voice said in my mind the night of our first date. Jeff and I had tons in common. We never ran out of things to talk about. Everything was fun with him. We fell in love, married, and had 2 wonderful kids. Jeff had been new to faith when we started dating. I'd become a Christian as a teenager, but then let my faith fade since graduating from college. Jeff and I found a church and committed to building our relationship with God. It paid off. Through the highs and lows of life, as busy working parents, our love remained rock solid. I came to believe that the voice of my mind had been a message from God. Then around our 20th anniversary, troubles multiplied. My best friend died of breast cancer. Jeff lost his job as a manager for a coffee company. My dad died 6 months later. With my encouragement, Jeff tried opening his own cafe. Coffee was his passion. He was just getting things set up with investors when COVID-19 struck and everything shut down. Jeff was forced to drive for Uber. He spiraled into depression. Nothing I said seemed to have any effect. The pandemic gradually got better, but our marriage didn't. Jeff remained bitter about work and spent hours watching TV or staring at his phone. He rejected all my urgings to seek God's help finding a new line of work. God doesn't care, he'd say. Why should I pray when I know nothing will happen? I'll pray for you, I said. Don't bother, he replied. By the time we argued about that ride to the airport, Jeff had been out of work for 3 years, and I was deeply disappointed in him. Our kids were in high school and college. We should have been looking forward to more time together as a couple. Instead, I went to bed that night, angrily tallying Jeff's failures and racking my brain for the words that would jog him out of his defeatist mindset. Is this what happens to all long-married couples, I wondered? In the past, Jeff had often been the one buoying my faith. His prayers had kept us going when we struggled following the financial crash of 2008. After a car accident had left me despairing over a long and painful recovery, Jeff held me and said, "I'll have faith for both of us." I still remembered the feeling of his arms around me as he said those words. Now he lay beside me asleep. I missed that faith-filled man of my memories. What did I have to do to bring him back? He's not the man he used to be, I sighed to myself. As if in direct reply, a voice sounded in my head. You're not the woman you used to be. My eyes flew open. The voice was the same one that had told me to marry Jeff. Surely God wasn't telling me I was as much to blame for our problems in our marriage. Jeff was the one who was out of work and depressed. I was a full-time teacher who took on extra duties to keep us financially afloat. But the more I thought about it, the more I had to admit that I too had let my faith waver. I'd lost patience with my husband. Had I lost faith in God as well? Could I still trust that voice I'd trusted for so many years? Help me put you back in the center of our marriage, I whispered to God. The next day, I remembered something I'd heard at a marriage retreat at church that I persuaded Jeff to attend recently. One of the speakers had recommended holding regular marriage board meetings. Get together with your spouse once every 2 weeks to go over all the practical business of your family, the speaker said. That way you get all the practical stuff taken care of at once and have energy left over for the emotional side of your marriage. Would these meetings help galvanize Jeff into action? To my surprise, Jeff agreed to give it a try. Like a typical teacher, I wrote down a detailed agenda. Each meeting would include the following: expressions of gratitude for each other and celebrations of accomplishments, scheduling and meal planning, areas of concern, areas for growth, action steps to strengthen our marriage. I had it all down on paper. Jeff took notes, put things on his calendar, and followed through on everything I asked him to do. He seemed to enjoy having concrete tasks. Still, I couldn't help noticing that he was not finding new work or improving his outlook about God. Nervously, I waited until our next meeting to talk about faith. I don't just need a man who loves me, I told Jeff. I need a man who loves God. I took his hand. I know that's you. I don't want to micromanage your relationship with God, but we need to seek God together. Jeff stared at me. "Okay," he said. I couldn't tell how he felt. In the past, he got angry any time I brought up his distance from God. Now he seemed indifferent. At least he consented to read a marriage book with me each evening. The outside voice of an expert seemed to help in a way even our pastor, who'd responded to our questions with a beautiful mini-sermon about love, hadn't. Maybe a therapist would be a good next step. A friend spoke highly of a marriage counselor she'd seen. She sent me his number but warned he will call out both of you on everything. He can be harsh, but it's worth it. Maybe that's what we need, I said, thinking. Maybe that's what Jeff needs. I'm probably not tough enough. It took the counselor almost no time to size us up and start issuing recommendations. I nodded along as he addressed Jeff. You have to stop blaming God and Kelly for your problems, the counselor said. Every day I want you to find 3 new stories that inspire you, then share them with Kelly and tell her how they make you feel. The only feeling you ever express is resentment. Kelly needs more from you. You need to find hope again. So true. I felt a wave of gratitude for my friend's recommendation. Now we were getting somewhere. The counselor turned to me. Kelly, you're codependent with your husband. You're trying to control him without truly understanding what he's going through. Wait, what? You feel ashamed of his situation and you keep trying to make him better. You can't do that. Only Jeff can decide to change. You need to learn to see things from his perspective and understand that he loves you and cares about your marriage as much as you do, but he's struggling. What both of you need from each other is grace. The counselor's words clanged in my mind. Codependent, ashamed, control. I wanted to argue, but other words crowded in. You're not the woman you used to be. I thought I had heeded those words by trying to save my marriage. Only now did I realize what God was really saying. I had to stop trying to change Jeff and instead work on changing myself. I had to mean it when I invited God to be the center of my life and my marriage. I wish I could say we came out of counseling with a fully healed marriage. We're a work in progress, a lot of progress. I stopped pushing Jeff to change. He joined a Bible study and began seeing his own counselor. Gradually, his outlook brightened and he looked for new work. We started having fun again. Jeff recently found a job with a faith-based nonprofit trying to open a coffee company. It was a perfect combination of Jeff's 2 passions, Jesus and coffee. Not long ago, we had to move out of our house for a few months while workers took care of a mold problem. We stayed at a residential hotel, the kind of disruption that a few years earlier would have caused serious tension in our marriage. This time, we talked about it and decided to treat it like an adventure. But could we? Each morning at breakfast, Jeff shared his 3 positive news stories, and we talked through our day and prayed for each other. The hotel had an evening social hour, and we loved playing cards while we ate snacks and chatted with other guests. We ended each day reading our marriage book. It's like we're on a retreat, I said one morning at breakfast. Jeff set down his coffee cup, then he got that look in his eye that told me he was thinking about the coffee we were drinking. I braced myself for an analysis of the flavor profile. Instead, he squeezed my hand and said, "Coffee always tastes better when I drink it with you." That's all the time we have today for Guideposts. Thank you for listening. My name is Sandy Summers. Stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds.